greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord. It has truly been a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you, David, and Alan for those thoughts. I see the Lord's hand in the thoughts that you shared. We might use some of those as we go on, so thank you. Yeah, it's a tremendous blessing being here. It's not quite as big a gathering, but there's, like Alan said, there's sicknesses and coughs and those things that are around. And may we rejoice this morning as we are here and worship our God. Maybe we could rise to our feet and have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, as we do bow here in your presence, we do thank you for the tremendous privilege that we have of seeking you. What a tremendous privilege we have of being part of the kingdom of our dear God, the everlasting kingdom that will never, ever perish. We're thankful, Father. And Lord, as we are here this morning, we know that you have something that you want to say to us. And Lord, we know that you use men. And we are here this morning, Father, desiring to be your vessel and not being your way in any way, shape, or form, but being a vessel that you might flow through, and pray that you would have your way in our hearts, Lord, me first of all. Father, I thank you for your word, and we ask that you'd make it alive into our hearts today, that you would use it to bear fruit in your kingdom in this life and in the life to come. So, Father, have your way here. We just want to bless you and exalt you. We pray for the Spirit of God, your Spirit, to be here in our midst and minister to us. We just bless you and exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So, again, we're thankful for what has been shared already. And just want to continue on what I had intended to share this morning. We didn't get to where I thought I was going to go, but so we have my original title that had come to me was Members in His Body as It Has Pleased Him, but this morning don't know that we're going to get that far. So we're going to basically be laying a foundation for that message, or messages. I don't know how the Lord will lead here in the future, but so we're basically going to lay a foundation for that this morning. So we want to start by reading Romans 12, the first 16 verses. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it in simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So this morning, like I said, when I started studying, I had thought we would be getting into the gifts, but as we went on, we're not going to make it that far. But we're going to try to maybe even dig a footer for the foundation a little bit before we get started with the footer. But the foundation is what we want to focus on this morning. So the first two verses here, in a way, are, I'm gonna say, are digging the footer, or at least preparing for the foundation on our study on the gifts of the body, in the body, His church. And I do want this to be an encouragement. I don't want this to be a negative message at all. But you know, any time that we dig a footer, for digging a footer, most often we come through some kind of obstacles. There's rocks down there, or there's tree roots, or there's, we don't never know what's underneath there. And so this morning, there might be some of those things that we want to point out or see if they're there in our hearts. So we might have a few hard spots, something that's in the way, or an object under the surface that needs moved as we dig a footer. So that's what we want to do this morning in order to get to our blessing. Is my body a living sacrifice to God? Is your body a living sacrifice to God? You know, we all want to think that we are. We all want to think that we are, but are we? So what is one of the rocks that could be in this footer is, in the last five years, how did you and I blend with the body here? What did I do that my life blended with your life? Is there someone here that has caused my temperature gauge to go up? As we think of being a living sacrifice, you know, I think this whole thing ties in together with the gifts that we're going to talk about. You know, depending on our answer to the question, and there could be a lot more, will depend on how well my gift functions in the body here. You know, I think that there's, if there's an irk in my heart towards one of the brothers or sisters, if there's a something that is an irritation or something that isn't right, the gift that God has given me for the body, thinking of serving or self-centeredness, will depend on how well my gift functions in the body. I just believe that that's the case. So we can't be a living sacrifice and have a lot of issue with my brothers. And you know, if we go around this rock that might be in the footer here, what happens? You know, we want to build a building, and we want to build it straight, but this rock is here, so we're going to go around this rock. And how's that going to work? It's not going to be square. The building isn't going to have a firm foundation. it's not going to work right. And so I believe it's something we need to really look at in our lives. One of two things will happen. It's weak. It's a weak point for sure, and the enemy will get in. Or second, it will be crooked and out of square, and it won't last. You know, in the Old Testament, when they brought a sacrifice, the sacrifice that they brought, that lamb they brought, the oxen they brought, had no choice other than to be sacrificed. It was something that had no choice in. But God gives you and I a choice if we're going to be a sacrifice or not. It's a living sacrifice. It's not something that our throat is cut and we're done. But it's a sacrifice that goes on and on. It's a serving, if you will. It's a sacrifice of service. You know, that sacrifice got burnt. And a living sacrifice, the fire will try as well. The next one is, as we think of rocks in our foundation, as we're digging footers, is verse 2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And I think that another rock that can be in the way is that we are, what did it say here? Conformed to this world. Conformed to this world. You know, this morning as we look at our outward appearance, it is very important to God how we look. But it's also much deeper than that. It goes beyond that. You know, we can hide a lot of things in our heart and have good clothes on, and yet we do see what is in the heart by what people put on. It goes both ways. But being conformed to this world, what attracts the world today? What is one of the attractions that the world is running after? What makes the world tick today? In our world today, the first thing that came to my mind was money. Money. Now that can be a touchy subject. You know, as we can think of being conformed to this world, how do we view money? We all need money, or we couldn't survive in this world. We all need it. But what is our view of money? Is our view of money the same view as Jesus had? And I had to think of technology. You know, Paul didn't know about technology back in his day, but today, what about technology? How is that? How does the world view technology? How do I view technology? How does Jesus view technology? What about the words that I say? You know, it goes deep. My time, the time that I have, the time that I use, how do I use my time? My thought life, how's that? Am I thinking worldly thoughts? Am I conformed to this world by the way I think? How is it? And again, depending on how we answer these questions or what is true in our life will really depend on how well our gifts work together here. Would Jesus wear today what I wear? Would Jesus drive today what I drive? Would Jesus do everything today that I am doing? And if not, why not? Thinking of technology, thinking of everything that is out there. I had to think, one of the thoughts came to me was this AI thing that is exploding in the world today. It's called artificial intelligence. What would Jesus' view be on that? If he has all the intelligence of the world, why would he stoop so low as to go to artificial intelligence? Doesn't he have all wisdom and all knowledge? And if he has that and he lives in here, why would we stoop so low as to go to that if we can ask the one who has all knowledge and wisdom? You know, how do we view these things? And if our, you know, depending on how we're doing in these areas will depend on how well my gift functions with the gift that God has given you. Your church life will become a have to if depending on how we answer these questions. Prayer meetings will be a struggle. You know, and there will always be someone that just irks me if these things are so. And according to 1 John, we only love God as much as we love each other. So then in verse 3, I said the first two verses, but verse 3 kind of goes in with that as we think of rocks or hindrances. Here's another difficulty. It says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And this is a verse that comes right before he starts talking about being members one of another. And I never grasped it before, but I truly believe that he's trying to lay a foundation for the gifts, that as he talks about the gifts in the body. To not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And I think if we're all honest, we all struggle with it. We do. God gives grace for us to overcome these things. He gives us power to overcome these things. But it is something that each one of us, I believe, struggles with at some level or another. You know, there's thoughts like, why would he say that? I would have said this. Why did he do that? I would have done this. What, if we're really honest, what is that not an elevated thought over my brother? And there is those things where people probably say things they shouldn't say. I'm not saying that never happens. But we need to be extremely careful. It's so easy to have an elevated thought over my brother. I could do it just a bit better. My way is a little better, right? No. Am I the only one that struggles with that? Maybe. You know, and the higher I think of myself, the more I cut off the flow of grace into my heart. I don't think soberly and see clearly, as it says in verse 3. These things hinder us tremendously. What is the biggest thing that happens when I think high of myself? I will be jealous of my brother, or at least look down on him. I will be in competition with my brother. At a brother's meeting, you know, and as we have different things that we nominate different brothers to do, and as we go around and we get a nomination, if I'm not chosen, then what happens to me? These things are real. These things are real. Is that not an elevated thought over my brother that I could? Why would they choose me over my brother? Is how we should feel. But if we're really honest, you know, it's just real. If I'm not nominated, do I struggle? Or maybe even at ordinations. These are signs of thinking high of oneself. You know, as we think of serving or self-centered, it goes right with the opening that we heard here this morning. I must be able to trust my brothers to see the fruit that is in my life or the abilities that God has given me. Some of you might struggle with what I just said. But I think until I'm absolutely honest with myself and get a glimpse of myself and get on my face, then we will continue to struggle. And I'm talking from my own life. It's not like, you know, what I'm going to share here, you might have a hard time believing. You know, there's brothers that get up here and they share very encouraging messages, and I would love to be one of them. And I fought that thing for years. It seems every time I get up here, I get my bulldozer and whatever else I have up here, and I start wrecking around. And I struggled, and I struggled. I have to accept what God has given me. I have been jealous. I've been in competition. And I don't want to be anymore. I'm not saying it has been that way for the last several years. The thoughts do come. But as a whole, I've gained victory over them. But it is real. It is real. Somehow, the gift that my brother has looks a lot more appealing than what God has given me. It just does. I don't care which spectrum that you're on. It just does. And until we accept the gift that God has given me, I will never flourish and never grow. You know, it's not like my physical body. I will never get more than 10 fingers if that's what I was born with. Or 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. In the spiritual sense, we can gain, the gifts can be added according to the, if we look at the talents that God has given. If you look at the parable of the talents, God gives everyone a talent. Some of them, they grow, and others, they don't grow as much. But he gives talents. And if I'm not faithful with what God has given, the one that God has given me, he will never increase the others. He wants us to be faithful in what he has given us in the beginning. It might be hard for you to believe that what I just said about the thing that I've struggled with, but it is reality. We have different gifts that God has given us. The only way that heaven will open up and the blessings will flow, you know, it says here in verse 3, God hath dealt to every man, For I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly as you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there's as we increase, God continues to pour more. And if I shut that off, the grace that God wants to pour into my life and make that gift flourish, I hinder it. I hinder it by struggling with what God has given me. You know, if everyone in the church would be like me, I warn you, the church would be a mess. The church would tremendously struggle. The church would not have the beauty that it is. I believe that 100%. God has given different gifts to the church here to make it beautiful, to bring him glory. And we'll get into more of that later. So like I said, those thoughts still come, but as a whole, I've been able to have victory over those thoughts. You know, the gift that God has given me, I think a certain way. The gift that God has given Alan, he thinks a different way. The gift that God has given David, we think in a we there's a different thought process according to the gift that God has given us. And it's all to bring glory to Him, first of all, but it's to make a beautiful thing. The church is to be a beautiful picture, a beautiful body. So as we think of that, does that mean that there's no unity? If I think differently than Alan, think differently than David? I mean, it can be, but we're supposed to, in our own, God has given us the ability to try to bring those things together and mesh them together. And if we all do this together, it is a very beautiful thing. It is not, it is diversity, but diversity is also strength, and we'll get into a little bit more of that later. We're supposed to see if we can bring our thoughts in unity together. This can be a challenge. But if I truly see the need that I have for you, and the need I have for you, I will try. I will do what I can to bring that thought in unity with your thoughts. But if the brotherhood doesn't have much value, if your life doesn't have much value to me, then my thought will be elevated over your thought. I think that you're going to be wrong. But if I have value for you, and you have value for me, then we'll try to mesh those things together. And there will be beautiful harmony in the whole thing. We need strong men. But strong men will see how they can give their life for their brother. And I'm not talking about compromising. When I truly value you over myself, then God can work. But if I'm always right, then God's grace is shut off. And it hinders the unity in the body. So I have 3 points here that we want to look at this morning. And the first one is, God, the body has many members. Jesus calls the church his body. And he's given it many members, many different workings. And his body, he'd like for it to function like our bodies do. You know, my hand this morning, you don't see it trying to elevate itself over my leg, do you? I mean, it just doesn't do that. It just flows. It just does, both of them do what they're supposed to do. They just function together very nicely. And that is what God's heart is for us as a church, that we would function in that way. Now, do my hands need my feet? Absolutely. Do my feet need my hands? Absolutely. So we need each other in a very real way. And I don't think we realize how much we actually need each other. Verses 4 to 6. Thinking of many members. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. So here we see that there's many members, but they don't all have the same office. Now, if you would have a broken leg, if you have a broken leg, what should we just cut it off and throw it away, or what happens? The rest of the members gather around, the hands take care of it, the mind is thinking of what should be done. There's just a lot of things that our physical body does when we break our leg. It takes care of itself, and that is what God has designed for the church, the body here in the church, to do, that it would take care of itself. Spiritually speaking, the same is true. Now suppose this morning that my ears would be fighting with my nose because it's tired of all the noise. And it would like to smell a while. You know, that sounds a little funny. But what happens in a brotherhood? I just got done saying that I struggled with times with what God has given me to share. Then there's competition. We think it's funny, but yet in the body, in the church body, it just happens. And we don't want that to happen. We want to overcome that. God has given all of us an office, which means a deed, a practice, or a function to do. Everyone in here has an office. If you are born, God has given that to you, and He wants you to use it for His church and for His glory. There's no one here that does not have one. We want to get that straight. There's no one here that does not have one. Now, there's some that are more noticeable than others, but of less, they're all of the same importance to God. And they should be of the same importance to us. You know, if I'm trying to be the hand when I'm actually the little finger, it just won't work. There's something, things will just go wrong. It puts undue pressure on every other member of the body. Unlike the physical body, like I said, we can grow in the gifts God has given us. But we will never have more. God will never increase the gifts if we're not faithful with what He has originally given us. He will never do that. So the word gift, it's a little bit like you tipping a waitress, except for the fact that you would tip the waitress when you walk in the door ahead of time. God has given that to us. He's given us a gift to see, not just to see. He's given us a gift to use for His body. Now, we would tip the waitress, and now she has a choice what she does. She could stick that money in her pocket, and she could take an order, bring her food, and go sit down. Or she could serve us. She could bring you water, refill your cup. She could be a tremendous blessing. And that's what God is, that's a little bit how that gift works. It's something that He has given us ahead of time, and He wants us to use it to serve His body in a very beautiful way. As we think of serving or self-centered. A gift. He's given us all a gift. You know, if you give that waitress a tip, you expect a return if you do it ahead of time. And that is what God wants from us, is a return. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read verses 4 to 6 there as well. Thinking of many members. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. We see here that God has, we see the word Spirit, we see the word Lord, and we see the word God here. It's the same God, it's the same one working all of these, and all of these gifts, and all of these operations, and all of these administrations. It's the same God that gives to us to do what He wants to get done in the body. There's many different callings, different abilities, but God's Spirit's still working in all of our hearts together for what? For one common good, for His glory. Here we see the diversity of gifts. We've administrations and operations. They're all different and yet very similar. We've already looked at the word gift. Administration is attendance. aid and relief. So we all have a gift, but then there's those here that have administrations where it's aid and relief. There's those that help the body out with that. You know, if I was to fall off the platform here and break my arm, all of you would feel sorry for me, first of all. Second, maybe not. Maybe you'd say, clumsy old man. I don't know what you would think. But anyway, you'd feel pity for me. But depending on your gift, you all will respond differently. There's those of you that have medical that will come up, and you will try to help me in that way. Someone will take charge in what is going to happen, how we're going to handle this, and others will work together and make sure that my arm gets the right and proper attention. That's what we would do in the physical. Now, there's some of you here that might think, okay, what could we do so that doesn't happen again? We have that kind of thinking that is in the body here as well. There's just very many, there's a lot of diversity that makes it very beautiful, and it's all for the good for His church, for His body. That's why He has given us so many different gifts. Some of you would be comforting me and maybe even my family. Now, suppose there is jealousy. I would fall down and there's just a bunch of jealousy here, and I'd break my arm. Can you imagine people up here arguing and who's going to do what? You do that. You take care of that. And it looks like, you know, that it sounds ridiculous, and yet somehow that's how some of our church life or some church life goes, and it shouldn't. That's not how God designed it. God designed it to flow beautifully together, very beautifully together. I want to be noticed, or I want my brother's gifts. Operations means work and activity. So again, there's many different gifts, and it makes it very beautiful as long as there's no competition. If I'm preferring, you know, if I'm serving my brother over being self-centered, it's very beautiful. Second point we want to look at is why the diversity of gifts. Why didn't God just make everyone just like David? Or everybody just like Alan? Why did He put so many different people together with everyone having different gifts? Why did He do that? Let's read verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. And there's, and with each one of these points, there's other points that could be made. So there's about three points in number 2 three different things we want to look at. The first one is, in verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And when he talks about the manifestation of the Spirit, he's talking about the gifts that God has given to every man to do what? To profit with all. So God has given your gift for what? To profit everyone else, right? So does that sound like self-centered, or does that sound like serving? Sounds like serving, right? There's nowhere in Scripture that I find that the gift that God has given me for myself, ever. The gift that God has given me is for you. And the gift that God has given for you, has given you, is for everyone else. But so many times I take that gift and I try to do something of it with myself, and then it becomes a mess. Now, this is why God has given different gifts and abilities. Is that our sole purpose? Is my purpose here this morning to bless you? Or is my purpose here this morning to see if I can make a name for myself? What is my purpose? What is your purpose for being here this morning? Am I selfish? Is it to benefit me, what I can get from it? And remember, God's way of going up a ladder is down, serving. It's always serving. That's the way that God's economy works. It's just the opposite. It's not seeing if we can run for president and get to be the top of the nation, but rather how we could get down here and serve others. That's how God's economy works. And it's not, again, the gift is not for me, but the gift is for others. And it's not just for everyone but Alan. And it's not just for everyone but a certain person in here. It's for the whole body. Unity, everyone. Ephesians 4, verses 12 to 16. We want to read another, what else God has given all these different gifts for the body. And we should have maybe started up further, but we will start in verse 8 it says, wherefore, that means because of this, and so there's things that are wrote ahead of this, but we're going to break in verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, talking about, in verse 11 we see a lot of different gifts that he has given. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, does that sound like there would be room for my gift to go off to itself, off in a corner by itself somewhere, and try to edify itself there? Could we get that out of this scripture in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not. It is about others. It is about others. It is about all about our lives giving for others. Is that, you know, what we just read, is that the prayer that my life could be for you all? Is that the sole purpose this morning that we're here together? That my gift would help make you perfect. That's what we read. That I would help you with your service. That I would edify you. Is that my prayer for my life? Is that the prayer for your life? Till we are all come complete unity of our faith. Verse 13. Is this our prayer? Till we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that our heart's desire for each one here this morning? Is that how we flow together here? Am I doing my part? Are we doing our part together? Verse 14, it talks about stability and safety that it brings when we are all functioning together. And usually the opposite is true as well. If we're not all functioning together very beautifully the way that God has designed, the safety leaves. The stability leaves. If I don't do my part, we all suffer. Not just me, but we all suffer. We all need each other. You have a part to fulfill, and I have a part to fulfill. Look at the beauty of verse 16. It says, from the whole body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, not half the parts, not one part missing, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God has given us everything as a church that we will ever need to prosper in His kingdom, if we are focused in Him and use that what God has given us. Very beautiful. If we look at this pulpit here, does it look like it's fitly framed together? It looks like it's fitly framed together. Now suppose I'm this part here in the front here. But I would like to be over here so everybody could see me. Would it still be fitly framed together? No, it wouldn't. We'd be ashamed to have it up here, wouldn't we? And yet, how do we walk in our Christian lives together? Am I okay being the shelf over here where you just set a bunch of stuff on and nobody ever sees me? Am I okay with that? Fitly framed together. Every piece in its right place is very beautiful. You know, and compacted here in verse 16 has the idea of ingredients of something very powerful if all the ingredients are there. Now think of cement. Think of cement. Now suppose, because I struggle with you all, I just said, because I'm the cement, I'm the powder, I'm the one that has everything that we need here to pour this floor that we want to have a church building on, would that work? We wouldn't add no water, we wouldn't add no rebar, we wouldn't add no stones, we wouldn't add no sand. How would that work? Would you want to walk in here in that way if it was just all powder? It would be a mess. It would be a mess. And that is how it is in church life. But if we all bring the thing that God has given us and we mix this thing together, we have something that is extremely powerful, extremely endurable. God has designed it and it will not fail if we do our part. The joint is you and I. Supplieth is a contribution. If I have it and yet I don't give it, I'm not supplying. Every joint has to supply. Every joint has to give an order. You know, if I am the sand, but I don't bring it to the cement and let it all be mixed together, it's still messy. Even though I might have it, it has to be supplied. It has to be given. Every joint supplieth. It's a contribution. Effectual working is energy efficiency. Measure is a limited portion. I have something, but I don't have it all. It's a limited portion. A part of an operation. Part is a piece or an individual. Now, what will happen if this is happening? It says that, and maketh increase of the body. we will be growing. We will be prospering. We will be encouraged. It's going to be beautiful if this is what we all do, one for another. Is there anyone that wouldn't like to be a part of an operation like this? God's word is just so beautiful in what he desires for the church to be. And we all want that. That would be like heaven on earth, would it not? Now the question is that our experience? And if not, why not? We all like how it looks. We all say we want it. But really, how bad do I really want it? Because it's going to cost me everything. It's not something that I can do half-heartedly. It will cost me everything. The only way it's possible is if I truly see that my gift is not to build my own little empire, to edify. I mean, yes, we are to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We're to take care of our own human body. But the gift that God has given is for his body. And it has to be used in that way. And if we do it that way, it will be beautiful. God has promised it to be beautiful. It's not what I can get from it. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As we think of why that God has given us these gifts, what the purpose is, why the diversity of gifts. Verses 10 and 11, it says, as every man hath received the gift, every man, every woman, everyone here hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. It's for one another. As good stewards. So if I don't use my gift, I'm what? I'd be a bad steward. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever. Now, why did God give the gifts? Why all the different gifts? There's several things here. Obviously, it's for one anothering, but the bottom line is in verse 11, it says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That is the sole purpose that God has given you a gift, me a gift, and the ability to bring it all together to glorify him. And as we think of the beautiful pictures that God has given us this morning, that the church should look like, who wouldn't want to be a part of it? It is supposed to be an attraction to the world. Those who are seeking, it should attract them in here. And that's what we want. And I think we all want to do our part in trying to make that happen. The manifold grace of God. Minister means to serve, like we read up here, or like David has wrote up here. The same one to another. Manifold grace of God, the manifold means various in character. Various in character. God didn't just make a whole bunch of Paul or a whole bunch of Lewis. He made manifold. He made various in character to make it beautiful, to edify one another, to take care. You know, if my whole body was a finger, it wouldn't get a thing done. It would be useless. Same is true for the body of Christ. So what happens if I don't do my part? There's several things that happen, but one thing, we're looking at the church, one thing that happens is the grace that could be flowing in here is hindered because I'm not doing my part. It hurts the body of Christ. The fullness that God would like the body here to be would be hindered. You know, and the same goes for you if you do not do your part. Verse 11 is the ultimate reason that God would receive the glory that he deserves. He deserves us to function together as a body. That Christ would receive the reward of his suffering. The question I ask myself, am I shortchanging God this morning? Am I shortchanging God? Have we lost our purpose? We are here this morning, and everyone is to be bringing something to edify the other. Every joint supplieth. There's not, every joint means everyone here. There's no one excluded from that. Every joint supplies. If I come, but I never bring anything, God's glory is hindered. You know, but if I came this morning, and before I came, I got on my face before God, and I prepared my own heart, I sought the Lord, and I cleared my own heart before God. I have something this morning. You have something this morning that we all need. We just all need it. Remember, just a bunch of cement powder on this floor would be a mess. We all need to bring the ingredients that God has given us and put it together, and it becomes a tremendous force. Something very powerful and something very beautiful. First off, I think our purpose is to glorify our great God. But how does that happen? If I come in here and I'm not excited, I come in here and my feelings towards the church aren't right, towards my brothers aren't right, what does that do? I mean, it's obviously not good for me to come in here this way. It's not, I'm obviously living in sin, if that is the case. But it brings like a cancer. And God doesn't want that. It's like marring the body of Christ. And none of us want to do that. But that is what happens. And it's not like we can't have some tough weeks, and it's not like we can't come in here in great need. But it can't be 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 3 years, 4 years. That's not how it works. It's not like I can't come in here and I am distressed. But if I come in here that way, you all come and minister to me. Get me out of that stage. Get me out of that place. If you're coming in here that way, you are marring the body of Christ. It is just that simple. God doesn't want it that way. He wants his body to be beautiful. He wants his church to be beautiful. If there's no relationship challenges toward my brother, and I come here to edify, to be edified, to encourage, to be encouraged, to minister, to be ministered to, if we all come with that attitude, what kind of an experience will we have? It will be tremendous. It will be beautiful. Do you think that would bring God glory? Do you think that would mar the body of Christ? Absolutely not. It would be beautiful. Would it be attracting to the world? Yes, it would. You know, our gatherings as a whole are to be a lot more than getting together, singing praises, hearing a few good messages, share a good meal, and talk about our jobs after, while we eat, and then go home. Our gatherings should be a whole lot more than that. If that is all I'm getting from it, I am missing a tremendous amount of what God has for us. You know, if I just came this morning to try to get through another week, like I said, we can come and be distressed at times because life is real. That does happen. But if that is happening week after week, that all I'm getting is enough to hopefully get me through another week, God has much more for us than that. He wants his body to be thriving. He wants his body to be, just to be thriving. But if we come together, if we come in the fulfilled, if we are fulfilled in Christ, then you're bringing in your bucket. It's like we all come with our bucket, and you have in your bucket what I need, and I have in my bucket what you need, or in this cup, whatever, however it may be. You have in your bucket what I need, and I have in your bucket. And I have in my bucket what you need. But what happens if I just leave the lid on my bucket? And that's what happens. We have it. God has given it to us. But it's in my bucket that I carry around, and I never take the lid off, and I never share it with anyone else. God has given it to every man, to every joint. He has given it. So what is happening if I'm not opening up my lid and sharing it with you all? Again, it mars the body of Christ. God wants us to open up our lid, open up our mouth, and share those things that he has given us. That is what he wants from you and I. You know, you might think, well, I don't preach as much. That's okay. We have different gifts. You're probably better off if you don't. Mine is no more important than yours. But you have something to give. You have something to give. Will we open our lids one for another? Or will we keep them closed? First of all, we need to open our heart before God and then one to another. Last of all, sorry, I'm taking too long, but it's hopefully not too long. The important of all the gifts. What we've been reading if I just sit at home by myself and my family? You know, in Scripture, we don't find any inkling at all that is possible. If we read these verses with an open heart, it is about a body that functions together. We all need each other. You know, if I would take my little toe and I'd take it and put it in a house somewhere and tell it to take care of itself, would it work? We all know it wouldn't work. You know, I didn't write this book this morning, and we didn't get into all the body parts that is mentioned in here. But God came up with the idea that the church functions like a body. It was not my idea that I came up with this morning. It is God's idea. That little toe would die. That little toe would die. It would not have life. It would not have the blood vessels, and it wouldn't have the tendons. It would be useless. It would die. How much does my toe need my foot? You know, suppose that the toe is still here, but now my foot's missing. What good would the toe do me if my foot is missing? And thinking of members one of another, if I'm the foot and I'm not doing my part, it hinders the toes. It hinders the body of Christ. If I'm not doing what God has given me to do. Again, we want to look at the actual gifts a little later at another time. But let's use a couple of these gifts. Why the different gifts? Now you think of the gift of a prophet and the gift of mercy. Do they need each other? They need each other. I just listened to Paul Weaver's message that he had over at Mendon here a while back. And it had, I forget exactly what it was, but it had to do with the prophet and the mercy. Or maybe it had to do just with the prophet, I'm not even sure. To the prophet. The prophet is a man that is black and white. He sees truth. And to the prophet, the mercy person, it can seem to him like he's compromising because he's not getting right on it and doing something about it. And the mercy person can think that the prophet is just a hard man. But the reality is, just having one, the church will suffer. It will not make it. Just having the other, the church will suffer and will not make it. We need both of them. We need both of them. God has given the gift, and he wants us to learn how to function together. You know, as we think of Israel, what did Israel do with the prophets? They stoned them. They killed them. They shut them up. They put them in prison. As a result, what was the result of that? Apostasy. Walking away from God. The same will happen to the church if we don't learn how to function these two together. There's no one that the prophet needs more than mercy. And there's no one that mercy needs more than the prophet. They need each other. Now let's take two more gifts. Let's take the teacher, and there's also the gift of giving. And let's fly these two to Haiti. And the man that has the ability to give, and he sees these tremendous needs that are there, and they are tremendous. There's been millions of dollars given into Haiti. And it's probably as poor, if not poorer today, than it's ever been. But there's little churches there that's not the case. So suppose now that we take the giver and the teacher and we fly him into Haiti. And if the giver would do just what he thinks should be done, he wouldn't have a cent left in a hurry. He would be giving. He'd just be giving because the needs are there. He needs to give. But if he listens to the teacher, as the teacher is instructing those on how they should take this gift that he's given them and use it for their good, it will work beautifully. And I've heard Barry share some of those thoughts. I think I forget how it was, but it had to do with a pig. How he took a sow. And he had some piglets, and he took some and sold some, kept a few, and how he raised his herd, and how he actually, it increased, and he showed them how to do it. But if all he would do is give them the money, would they be the better? No. So we need the teacher. We need the teacher as much as we need the giver. Now the giver has to give. But if he listens to the teacher and they mesh these things together, it works very beautifully. It will be beautiful. It'll work. So this morning, you have a gift, and I have a gift, and we all have a gift. Now, I might have a gift that is opposite of yours, and you might have a gift that is opposite of mine, and we tend to, it tends to clash a little bit here and there, right? That's just how it tends to happen. God doesn't want it to clash. God wants us to learn how to use it, to bring, every joint brings, compacteth, brings what he has. We all bring it together and we mix it up and we have a beautiful mixture of cement and it'll endure, it'll last. But if you keep your sand and I keep my cement, it's just not going to work. So God wants us to bring what we have for the glory of God, to make his church beautiful. So this morning, Jesus Christ is going to be coming back for a bride. And that bride is going to be beautiful. That bride will be beautiful. You know, and we can be here this morning, and it doesn't mean that we're part of that beautiful bride. But we can be, and we can be preparing ourselves to be. But Jesus is coming back for a bride that is beautiful. And if I give myself and serve, and you give yourself and you serve, and we all blend our hearts together, we can be that beautiful, beautiful bride. It is worth giving our lives for. And I would like for all of us to be able to do it together. To think of one soul skipping out to not do it breaks my heart. God wants us all to do it together. To glorify him. You know, we get focused on each other here. And then that's where it problems. But if we think of glorifying him with my gift, with what he has given me, it's for his purpose, for his glory, it will be beautiful. So God bless you. I hope I've not been... Yeah, we want to talk about the gifts at a later time.